This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. Trust in public institutions has unfortunately been rather lacking in Malaysia lately. It was highlighted under the National Anti-Corruption Plan as one of the key challenges the country is facing in the fight against corruption. Now, stories of corrupt politicians and civil servants are a dime a dozen, but are they true? And if so, what is being done about it? Now, today on The Breakfast Grill, we're going to be tackling the subject of corruption with Tan Sri Siddiq Hassan, Chairman of the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission. Tan Sri, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
First of all, there are many agencies in the country whose aim it is to ensure transparency, accountability of the arms of government, and the EAIC sits above several of them, monitoring 21 enforcement agencies. But notably, the EAIC doesn't have any enforcement capabilities of its own. So ultimately, at the end of the day, Tan Sri, is it a little bit of a toothless tiger?
Not really, because I don't think any agency at all, even SPRM, which is much, much bigger, can monitor and enforce about corruption on every Malaysian and every non-Malaysian in Malaysia doing corruption. Basically, it's about having those people themselves, those enforcement agencies and the people inside those enforcement agencies policing themselves, making sure that they don't misbehave. And if they do, someone above them within the same agency or someone below them within the same agency, policing on them, making sure that they don't repeat it and, more importantly, others do not do it.
Exactly. But then, I mean, quoting from the National Anti-Corruption Plan or the NACP, this is an excerpt from it. So it says, corruption has gone beyond the abuse of power by public officials to manifest itself deeply within the moral and social fabric of the society as a whole. So against that backdrop, it seems like it might be a bit of an uphill battle to be attempting to instill that self-policing capability now.
It is, if you admit that it's a failure. And I don't recognize that. I believe in the enforcement agency itself right now, for example, the police. The IGP is very forceful in making sure he said it very loudly and he said very often. And his deputy is doing the same thing. And I read and hear many of the CPOs are saying the same thing against corruption. Not only against corruption, because against issues of integrity, because integrity is beyond only corruption. And if you have people like them loud enough and making sure that it sticks, making sure that they make an example of those who misbehave, then I'm very sure those within the organization, if they know that their bosses are serious about it, if they know that their colleagues are serious about it, if they know that their subordinates are serious about it and going to whistleblow you on it, then I think the battle is won. Because EIC, we have only, 78 people? 78 people want to monitor 21 agencies having the police say 130,000. It would be crazy.
Yes, there have been concerns raised over perhaps whether or not the EAIC is understaffed for its role into police, if I may say so, 21 enforcement agencies.
Exactly. We have 78. You multiply that by 1,000. That means 7,800. You think we can police 130,000 policemen, you add in the other 20?
I'm sure it would help as compared to having only 78.
Would you eliminate it? And therefore, that's what I said. It's basically about the persons themselves, the officers themselves. I acknowledge that EIC is perhaps understaffed. Perhaps the 8 million ringgit given to us a year is not enough. Okay, if they give us 80 million ringgit, would that be enough? And therefore, basically, it's about us. It's about cajoling people, influencing people to do what is right. Can you monitor all your children or your grandchildren? Like in my case, you can't. You have to rely on them behaving in a manner that you want them to behave, that they think they should behave like that.
Perhaps let's also get into the process itself. Once the EAIC has received a complaint or detected some element of misconduct, what actually happens then?
We investigate them. And if we find that the complaint has basis and find out the reason of this, we will recommend to the discipline authority of the, the line of action that should be taken. And it still depends, for example, if it's a police, it depends on the authorities, pihak berkuasa tata tertib, the disciplinary authority of the police, doing what is right. And therefore, we are just the intermediary, if you will.
So how many recommendations did the EAIC dispense last year? And do you follow up on them? Do you know how many of them were taken up?
I don't have the numbers, Lynn. I don't really have the numbers now. But we have an understanding. Recently, I'm proud to say, I met the IGP quite often. But recently, the deputy IGP and many of his colleagues, the directors, including the secretary of the police, including the director of the GIPS, met my colleagues, my colleague, the CEO and our directors here, and they were talking about moving forward, how we can collaborate. And that is the kind of collaborative action that I'm talking about. If we have the right people manning or womaning those agencies, and they have the, then we are on the right track. And I believe we do.
And we'll come back perhaps to conversations specifically about the police in just a few minutes, if you don't mind, Tansri. I appreciate your optimism, and it is heartening to hear that you do have this belief that the right people in the right place with a bit of encouragement might be able to carry this forward. But unfortunately, I don't believe that your optimism is shared by a large part of the Malaysian public, because you do get a sense of mistrust of government systems and the civil service. Ultimately, how are you going to combat this severe trust deficit that we're facing in the country now if you want to carry forward the image of the civil service in this country?
It's always sexy to report about deaths in police custody. It's always sexy to report about people's public servants being corrupt. But it's not sexy reporting and the police helping people on the road, helping dogs out of the drain. And I know the Nik Azanis of the world, the OCPD of Petaling Jaya. You think he's alone? I read of CPOs of Johor, for example. People like them go up. But there are many there. I know there are many, but maybe they are not being sung. And it's for people like you and for papers to write about this. That was why I would encourage civil servants to write about what they do, to tell the world what they do, not so much about ego, but the good thing that they do, so that it encourages people to emulate them.
Communication issues has been something that the government also does struggle with. I mean, Transparency International Malaysia, in its latest Corruption Perceptions Index, highlighted the need to keep the public up to date on investigations as one of the issues that they found influenced Malaysia's drop in the rankings to, I believe it was 57th in the most recent 2020 report. How do we facilitate that flow of information between not just the government to the people, but back from the people to the government? I mean, perhaps would better whistleblower protection also be an issue that would be important to raise here?
We have the rules, we have the law, we have the legislation. We just do it. And I, for example, when I first became chairman of EIC, people tell me that X700, Akta 700, which established EIC, is not strong enough. What makes us think that we don't have the power? If you read the act, there is enough power for us to act.
But it doesn't have punitive measures, I think, is what most people drive at when they talk about Act 700, Tansri.
Assuming for a minute that we have that and we don't use it, would it make any meaning?
I mean, it would be another tool in your arsenal, surely, Tansri, because
yes.
A carrot, the idea is the carrot and the stick.
Sure. But assuming that we don't have EIC and we give that punitive power to the police themselves and they don't use it, would that have any meaning? The laws are only good if they are used. It doesn't matter who has it. If we have more of these kind of people enforcing it, then you don't need EIC, you don't need SPRM, you don't need you and me. Because they themselves enforce it.
But I also just want to bring our conversation a little bit back to the EAIC itself, because there perhaps might be some confusion over the role of the EAIC as it compares with other bodies as well within the government. Names like, for example, you mentioned SPRM or the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission, bodies like the GIACC. How does the EAIC particularly distinguish itself from these other bodies?
Well, for one, we are small, both in number of people as well as in terms of financial resources. Two, although we are small, we are supposed to supervise many agencies, talking about 21 enforcement agencies, and they themselves are big. One of them is larger than us. And what we differentiate is that we have to do our job well.
One would assume that every agency would be expected to do their job well. Isn't that right, Tansri?
Yeah, exactly. That is why I like OCPD of Petaling Jaya. That's why I like the CPO of Johor. Because the OCPD of Petaling Jaya become the role model of the other OCPDs, become the role model of people who are going to be OCPDs.
So is the EAIC supposed to be the role model then for other agencies, perhaps you're smaller and more nimble? One would assume that there would be quite a lot of overlap, what with all of these agencies also looking similarly at integrity and anti-corruption measures.
I that's what we are working on. Our line of commissioners are pretty impressive. We have on our commission three former federal court judges, one former High Court judge, one former Secretary General of the Ministry of Home Affairs, one Deputy Rector of UIA, who's also a lawyer, a Dean on the Faculty of Law. So it's small, but I think we should go on quality.
But a star-studded cast doesn't necessarily a good movie make, Tansri. What matters is the result.
Exactly. And so, because this is small and it's good cast, we better make sure that we play good football. And that, because soccer is a game of 11 people, we make sure that all our 11 people are stars and they are good team players.
I've been speaking with Tansri Siddiq Hassan, Chairman of the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission. Up next, how the EAIC is managing its manpower problem. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Tansri Siddiq Hassan, Chairman of the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission. So Tansri, how are you appointed? Who is it that appoints EAIC commissioners and who is it that you report to?
Who do we report to? Who appoint us? The Agong. Of course, the government recommend.
Okay.
And we report to the Parliament. But day to day, I must say that we are guided by Act 700. And as I said, because we are small and so many, we have to be choosy in the things that we do.
I guess the question then would be, Tansri, that considering how understaffed you are and the fact that you do have to be so selective with what cases you do take up, there may be concerns that other also warranted claims or complaints may fall by the wayside.
It has to be. I mean,
is there some kind of agency handoff procedure that you have if you hand it off to other agencies that may have more manpower to investigate as well?
Exactly. For example, if they are on corruption, that one is so clear, we straightway send to SPRM. If, for example, it's very clear that a case is disciplinary matter, we straightway send to the agencies, that particular agency, because in the final analysis, you have to give to the PBT anyway, because of Tata Telte. And so I do not think that we should be taking each and every one and giving the same focus for the bigger one.
So then tell me perhaps, Tansri, what are some cases that the EAIC has handled so far this year? I mean, since your appointment, you were appointed in July. And what are the issues that you're currently addressing?
We are addressing the backlog.
What kind of, how big a backlog are we talking about?
Quite a big number, because under the Act, most of the actions need to be approved by the commissioners. And we don't have commissioners for something like 9 months or 10 months. And there's a lot of backlog. And we are clearing that backlog. And we are putting ourselves some deadline about going forward. And I think part of the reason why there are backlogs is because we have a lot of complaints that we receive. You cannot be giving equal treatment to every complaint.
Circling back earlier, you mentioned that the EAIC does report its findings to Parliament, but shouldn't it better be Parliament that also handles appointment of EAIC commissioners? Because I raise this because the fact that so many direct appointments still exist that fall in the hands of the Prime Minister's office or the current executive government does seem like a bit of a concentration risk. I mean, one that we have been bitten by before.
I have been appointed and my colleagues since 1st of July 2020. We have met the Prime Minister only once. I don't see the necessity of meeting him, and I don't think he sees the necessity of meeting us. And we do our job the way we want to do our job according to the Act. Because it's the same, whether the PM recommend or they are going to appoint us.
Well, I suppose, Tan Sri, it's the same concern that surrounded the appointment of Latifa Koya back when she was MACC chief, the appointment made directly by Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad at the time. Because, yes, ultimately these appointments are approved or dismissed by the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, but the fact that it is the government of the day that makes these recommendations also does throw into question the independence of these enforcement agencies, particularly when it is the government of the day that they are supposed to be policing.
Dependence, Lindmark, is in the mind. Independence is in the mind of the person doing the job.
Surely independence would be aided by more of a framework, allowing for that independence to flourish.
Sure. Even if you had the framework, if the person is not independent, it is better to have an independent person without framework than a non-independent person within a framework. I'm talking riddles.
But Tansri, that's leaving it. I understand what you're driving at, that it ultimately comes down to the individual. But doesn't it? It still leaves a lot of room for error, doesn't it?
Certainly, but
it's like the argument that because a particular individual was a good leader despite being an autocrat, it means that autocracy is good in general. It's highly dependent on who that leader is and his priorities.
Yeah, Lynn, in the US, members of the cabinet are recommended by the president and approved by the Senate. And they are supposed to be very independent because of the Senate. In the last cycle, were they very independent?
You can say that that was still a function of the will of the people because of the fact that it was the Senate, the voted-in representatives that made the ultimate decision.
Don't change the subject. The officers, the AG, for example, did he behave independently of the executive? And therefore, independence is in the mind. I bet you, if you have an independent person appointed by the federal, say, nope, I won't do it.
I suppose the worry is that because in the past we did see, I mean, we are currently seeing a former prime minister of the country making his way through the court system, facing charges related to corruption, misappropriation of funds, and in fact been convicted of misappropriation of funds. That I believe is the root of a lot of worries when it comes to the concentration of power in the executive branch here in Malaysia. So how do we then address that and move forward from that? Because it doesn't seem as if a lot of the regulatory or the regulatory issues or the legislative issues that allowed for that abuse of power to occur in the first place, it doesn't look as if those have been addressed yet.
There is something such thing as separation of powers. You have the executive, you have the legislative, and you have the judiciary.
Do we have, in your opinion, a true separation of powers here in Malaysia?
We do. You said that went through the court system. Basically, it's about having people. About people and talking about EIC. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud to be in EIC. The people that we have, although not many, we're working. But I'm suggesting. I know maybe have skepticism about my saying it, but I really mean it. It's not for EIC to work alone. We are going to work with the agency that is right. They are our friends, our colleagues. And I was KSN before, I was chief secretary. I know it. I don't believe in having too many people in my office, KSM's office. I don't believe in replicating MITI there because we're from MITI. I don't believe in replicating AGs there. I don't have a single lawyer in my office before because we have people in the AGs chamber. And so it's about the KSM's office working with all the civil servants, all the heads. And along the same line that we are now, that I'm in AIC now, I'm talking about working with the police, about policing themselves. Working with immigration, about them policing themselves. Because basically, I hope the IGP will work with these directors, with these CPOs, with the OCPDs, making sure that they themselves police. Because I don't think, however hardworking Tan Sri Hamid Badu is, even if he works 24 hours a day, there's no way he can cover the 130,000 policemen and policewomen that he has. Mm. No way.
What are your thoughts on the IPCMC bill? Do you think this will assist in rehabilitating the image of the police or and addressing, you know, the issue that you raised earlier as well, the issue of deaths in custody?
For me, I think yes, it would have. But I had a conversation with Tan Sri Hamid Badu, and I don't think he would be angry with me for saying though. You know what? He welcomed IPCMC. He welcomed IPCC. He said what? I'll make sure that they are irrelevant, meaning to say that he himself will act first. When I was in Petronas, we think that Petronas is the number one in terms of integrity, the only Fortune 500. Fortune 500 is about the mind, that we have that mind of integrity, world-class company. But of the 53,000 people that we have in Petronas, I doubt all of us will be having so good all the time. Granted, one or two or some other numbers will misbehave. But I can guarantee you, if we find that they misbehave, and it's again our zero tolerance, we'll be the first to kill them. Not SPRM, not the police. We in Petronas will be the first to kill our Petronas colleague who misbehave.
Figuratively speaking, of course.
Figuratively, of course. I don't want to go to jail. Now, and that's what we did. It tell the other 53,000 minus one, you better behave or else you also will be killed. And there is a message of Tan Sri Hamid Badu. He will make SPRM relevant as much as we in Petronas make SPRM relevant.
So then, Tan Sri, considering that you've got another round about 2.5 years left to your current tenure with the EAIC, and as its chief, what are going to be your primary focus points as you head forward into these next couple of years?
My focus would be in talking to people like you, in trying to convey the message that EAIC cannot be doing it, in conveying through people like you, to the agencies themselves, that they must police themselves. And it's not 21 agencies alone. If you are a prophet, you're talking about the whole Malaysian community. The whole nation should behave the same way. And that is the message that I'm going to follow faithfully, God willing.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Tan Sri. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, Lynn.
I've been speaking with Tan Sri Siddiq Hassan, Chairman of the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission, better known as the EAIC. I'm Lynn Mark. This has been The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.